This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Actually, it's not Dom Salvia. It's Matt Rothschild. I'm with you this afternoon. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Dom's off today. He's starting his weekend early, and I don't blame him. I'm here with Aaron Zommers on the box, and I'm here with you if you want to join the conversation, which I hope you will. The number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we got a great show for you after the 4:30 break. Jeff Mandel of Law Forward will be joining us. And then in the next hour, State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin will come in. And at 5:30, we got Matt Reitz of the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance taking us home with a little bird talk. I'm an old bird watcher, in case you didn't know. But first, some politics. Not sure you've heard about this one, but I want your take on it. Should Joe Biden hand out mass pardons to some of his appointees who may be in the crosshairs of Kash Patel and Donald Trump? Here's the background on this issue. This is from The Guardian. Bear with me as I read just a couple paragraphs. Joe Biden's staff is considering the possibility of him granting mass pardons to a broad range of public officials to protect them against the possibility of retribution. We've heard a lot about that. And revenge from Donald Trump when he assumes power. The pardons could be extended to people who believe they've committed no crimes, but have been publicly named by Trump in multiple diatribes, claiming that investigations against him have been driven by a political witch hunt. We heard that over and over again. The article concludes, among those under consideration for clemency, according to Politico, are Adam Schiff, a California Democrat, of course, Liz Cheney, and Dr. Anthony Fauci. So what do you think about this issue? I'll give you my take in just a second, but I'd love to have your input. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Zommers, what do you think?
I think it's really more of the same mess as it has been. I don't know.
You know, my feeling, I was ambivalent at first about this when I was reading the story and thinking about it, especially General Milley, because they may drag him back in front of a court martial.
I really hope they don't.
And the penalty for that ultimately could be firing squad, for God's sakes. He's the one, I think, would deserve it if anyone would. The Republicans claim, Trump claims that he was disobeying orders when after the coup attempt on January 6th, China and Russia were scared to death. They didn't know what this crazy man in the White House might do next. So they were wondering whether they should put their nuclear missiles on higher alert. And Milley contacted his counterparts in China and Russia saying, no, we're not going to nuclear war against you. You don't have to do that. Let's calm down. Everything's going to be okay, which was a very prudent thing to do.
So, yeah, in other words, he was doing his job, unlike the commander in chief or, you know, would be commander in chief.
Right. It wasn't a time for nuclear saber rattling, for sure. And so he did what was appropriate. But the right wing's been up in arms afterwards. That would be the only pardon that I think would be at all justifiable. I don't think there is any rationale for mass pardons. For several reasons. One, there's no precedent for it. And this isn't the time for Joe Biden to be breaking norms when we're trying to show that Donald Trump is breaking norms. And that's a terrible thing for our democracy. We need the norms. We need the guardrails. It's also a really defensive thing to do and would give off the appearance to a lot of folks who are only casually watching politics that, holy smokes, these guys must have committed a bunch of crimes. And Biden's having to issue all these pardons just to save their backsides. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, have Biden give the impression that there was all this wrongdoing. It would also set a terrible, you know, every president afterwards would say, I'm just going to issue these blanket pardons.
I mean, Trump did do a lot of that. But it's easy for people who don't keep up with politics to forget about that or like you said, they'd just hear, oh, Biden's doing all these pardons. He must have something to hide. And they would forget about Trump and Jared Kushner's dad and all that.
Right. And I thought it was disgraceful, those pardons. I thought it was disgraceful for the first George H.W. Bush to pardon the folks who were implicated in the Iran-Contra scandal, including Caspar Weinberger and Elliot Abrams. You know, it's just, you just shouldn't be giving out, you know, get out of jail free cards at random here or to your closest buddies. And also, you know, if a lot of people are going to be attacked by Trump's authoritarianism, why just shield some high-ranking officials? I mean, that doesn't seem fair. I mean, give out mass pardons to all the Dreamers if you're going to do that, or to anyone who's here undocumented and has lived a decent life and never committed a crime once they, you know, cross the border. You know, if you want to go that route, go that route. But just, you know, shielding a few people, with the possible exception of Mark Milley, I'm not for it. Looks like we got CJ on the line from Stoughton. CJ, how are you, man?
Howdy, folks. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, anytime. Right, Dom's not here today, CJ, so it's just me.
Oh, he's not. Well, no. I guess that's probably why I got picked up so I'm so quick, because usually I'm on hold for an hour. But that's okay. Thanks for taking my call, Matt. I totally agree with you. You know, I guess what I want to know is the truth. Whether or not these upper officials, we found out that now our last institution did claim that because China's not forthcoming, but they believe it came from the Wuhan lab. And it was people were taken off of social media because they questioned whether it was.
Well, CJ, I think even, that's still up in the air, this question of whether it came from the lab or from the wet market.
Then we'll never know the truth, Matt, because China's not forthcoming about any of that.
Well, you're right about that. I agree
so
with that.
You're right. You know, but as far as these pardons go, certainly, I hope that it is investigated, whether they're charged or not. I want to know the truth, because our most trusted institutions have been corrupted on both sides of the aisle. I want to know the facts, and it being hidden and obstructed. And as far as the family profiting, now the Biden family just took the money and ran. Never know. We'll never know. Never can be charged. And the most influential, the most corrupt years that supposedly the Biden family through Hunter got money, the statute of limitations were allowed to run out. And that was intentional.
CJ, let me just jump in here for a second. You know, on the pardon of Hunter Biden, I'm actually, as a dad, I was in favor of that. If my son had had the problems that Hunter Biden had, and then he was trying to straighten his life out, and I had the power to keep him from going to jail, I would have done it just as a father. But what I didn't like about the way Biden went about this was, number one, he lied at the beginning. He didn't need to say he was never going to pardon him and say it over and over again. I mean, that just leads to cynicism among the American public that all politicians lie. All politicians are the same. So I hated that. And I actually hated the statement he came out. All he needed to say was, look, I'm a dad. I love my son. My son's gotten himself in trouble. He's now trying to get his life together. I don't want him to go to jail. I'm going to use my pardon power. And that's it. I love my son. And I think that would be hard to argue with.
I guess I probably would agree that it would be tough, but it just proves the dual form of justice this country has been living for years. And the powerful get to walk away with the $25 million that Biden's grandchildren have taken, supposedly. They have bank statements. So,
well,
yeah,
I mean, Jared got billions, too. Let's forget. CJ, I mean, Jared got billions from the Saudis, too. And Donald Trump's walking away scot-free here, which is really galling to me.
He's got a business. He's got a business. What is the Biden business? What do they sell? What do they sell other than our country? And that's the sad fact, is that they want to look the other way. and they're going to get off scot-free, including the big guy, because we now know that that's true.
Well, he may not get away scot-free unless he pardons himself, and I don't think Joe Biden's going to pardon himself.
Which he will.
I doubt he will.
Which he will.
I'm not for self.
The most corrupt administration ever in our country's history.
Well,
right here.
CJ, we differ on that, and the most dangerous administration in our history is Donald Trump, who will go down in history as a traitor, and historians will be shaking their head as to how this guy got reelected. But CJ, I appreciate the call. Always appreciate the conversation when we're talking issues. Happy to get together with you personally, as we did for lunch in Middleton. Must have been 3 or 4 months ago. Happy to do it again. Taking calls right now from you, if you want to weigh in on this question as to whether Joe Biden should issue mass pardons to officials who may be on Cash Patel's enemies list, which evidently comes to several dozen, 60, I guess, 60 people on Cash Patel's enemies list. I mean, the idea that a incoming FBI nominee would have a enemies list of American citizens that he's already aiming at is disgraceful and disgusting in its own right. The number to call here, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. There's another issue I wanted to raise, and that is this issue of the Washington Post and other members of the mainstream media capitulating ahead of time to Trump. We had Jeff Bezos, who the owner of the Washington Post and Amazon, interviewed in the New York Times on Wednesday. And remember, Jeff Bezos was the guy who pulled the endorsement of Kamala Harris off the pages of the Washington Post after the editorial board wanted to endorse her and changed policy at the last minute not to give Kamala Harris an endorsement. Bezos telling the New York Times, somehow, Donald Trump is calmer than before and has grown in the past 8 years. Really? This is being a sycophant in the worst way and violates the first commandment of On Tyranny, Timothy Snyder's great book, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century, where he says in the very first chapter, the very first page, do not obey in advance. Most of the power of authoritarianism is freely given. Jeff Bezos is freely giving his power over to Trump. In times like these, says Snyder, individuals think ahead about what a more repressive government will want and then offer themselves without being asked. A citizen who adapts in this way is teaching power what it can do. Anticipatory obedience, he concludes, is a political tragedy. And yes, it is. It's a political tragedy when the Washington Post does it and when others do it. And we'll return to this topic right after this quick break to talk about what is going on with the mainstream media and why are they capitulating. You're listening to The Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild pitching in for Dom today. We'll be right back.
Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Actually, it's not Dom Salvia. It's Matt Rothschild. I'm with you this afternoon. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Dom's off today. He's starting his weekend early, and I don't blame him. I'm here with Aaron Zommers on the box, and I'm here with you if you want to join the conversation, which I hope you will. The number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we got a great show for you after the 4:30 break. Jeff Mandel of Law Forward will be joining us. And then in the next hour, State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin will come in. And at 5:30, we got Matt Reitz of the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance taking us home with a little bird talk. I'm an old bird watcher, in case you didn't know. But first, some politics. Not sure you've heard about this one, but I want your take on it. Should Joe Biden hand out mass pardons to some of his appointees who may be in the crosshairs of Cash Patel and Donald Trump? Here's the background on this issue. This is from The Guardian. Bear with me as I read just a couple paragraphs. Joe Biden's staff is considering the possibility of him granting mass pardons to a broad range of public officials to protect them against the possibility of retribution, we've heard a lot about that, and revenge from Donald Trump when he assumes power. The pardons could be extended to people who believe they've committed no crimes, but have been publicly named by Trump in multiple diatribes, claiming that investigations against him have been driven by a political witch hunt. We heard that over and over again. The article concludes, among those under consideration for clemency, according to Politico, are Adam Schiff, a California Democrat, of course, Liz Cheney, and Dr. Anthony Fauci. So what do you think about this issue? I'll give you my take in just a second, but I'd love to have your input. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Zomers, what do you think?
I think it's really more of the same mess as it has been. I don't know.
You know, my feeling, I was ambivalent at first about this when I was reading the story and thinking about it, especially General Milley, because they may drag him back in front of a court martial.
I really hope they don't.
And, the penalty for that ultimately could be firing squad, for God's sakes. He's the one I think would deserve it if anyone would. The Republicans claim, Trump claims that he was disobeying orders when after the coup attempt on January 6th, China and Russia were scared to death. They didn't know what this crazy man in the White House might do next. So they were wondering whether they should put their nuclear missiles on higher alert. And Milley contacted his counterparts in China and Russia saying, no, we're not going to nuclear war against you. You don't have to do that. Let's calm down. Everything's going to be okay, which was a very prudent thing to do.
So, yeah, in other words, he was doing his job, unlike the commander in chief or, you know, would be commander in chief.
Right. It wasn't a time for nuclear saber rattling, for sure. And so he did what was appropriate. But the right wing's been up in arms afterwards. That would be the only pardon that I think would be at all justifiable. I don't think there is any rationale for mass pardons. For several reasons. One, there's no precedent for it. And this isn't the time for Joe Biden to be breaking norms when we're trying to show that Donald Trump is breaking norms. And that's a terrible thing for our democracy. We need the norms. We need the guardrails. It's also a really defensive thing to do and would give off the appearance to a lot of folks who are only casually watching politics that, holy smokes, these guys must have committed a bunch of crimes. And Biden's having to issue all these pardons just to save their backsides. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, have Biden give the impression that there was all this wrongdoing. It would also set a terrible, you know, every president afterwards would say, I'm just going to issue these blanket pardons.
I mean, Trump did do a lot of that. But it's easy for people who don't keep up with politics to forget about that. Or like you said, they just hear, oh, Biden's doing all these pardons. He must have something to hide. And they would forget about Trump and Jared Kushner's dad and all that.
Right. And I thought it was disgraceful, those pardons. I thought it was disgraceful for the first George H.W. Bush to pardon the folks who were implicated in the Iran-Contra scandal, including Caspar Weinberger and Elliot Abrams. You know, it's just, you just shouldn't be giving out, you know, get out of jail free cards at random here or to your closest buddies. And also, you know, if a lot of people are going to be attacked by Trump's authoritarianism, why just shield some high-ranking officials? I mean, that doesn't seem fair. I mean, give out mass pardons to all the dreamers if you're going to do that, or to anyone who's here undocumented and has lived a decent life and never committed a crime once they, you know, cross the border. You know, if you want to go that route, go that route. But just, you know, shielding a few people, with the possible exception of Mark Milley, I'm not for it. Looks like we got CJ on the line from Stoughton. CJ, how are you, man?
Howdy, folks. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, anytime. Right. Dom's not here today, CJ, so it's just me.
Oh, he's not. Well, nope. I guess that's probably why I got picked up so I'm so quick, because usually I'm on hold for an hour. But that's okay. Thanks for taking my call, Matt. I totally agree with you. You know, I guess what I want to know is the truth. Whether or not these upper officials, we found out that now our last institution did claim that because China's not forthcoming, but they believe it came from the Wuhan lab. And it was people were taken off of social media because they questioned whether it was.
Well, CJ, I think that's still up in the air, this question of whether it came from the lab or from the wet market.
Then we'll never know the truth, Matt, because China's not forthcoming about any of that.
Well, you're right about that. I agree with that.
You're right. You know, but as far as these pardons go, certainly, I hope that is investigated, whether they're charged or not. I want to know the truth, because our most trusted institutions have been corrupted on both sides of the aisle. I want to know the facts, and it being hidden and obstructed. And as far as the family profiting, now the Biden family just took the money and ran. Never know. We'll never know. Never can be charged. And the most influential, the most corrupt years that supposedly the Biden family through Hunter got money, the statute of limitations were allowed to run out. And that was intentional.
CJ, let me just jump in here for a second. You know, on the pardon of Hunter Biden, I'm actually, as a dad, I was in favor of that. If my son had had the problems that Hunter Biden had, and then he was trying to straighten his life out, and I had the power to keep him from going to jail, I would have done it just as a father. But what I didn't like about the way Biden went about this was, number one, he lied at the beginning. He didn't need to say he was never going to pardon him and say it over and over again. I mean, that just leads to cynicism among the American public that all politicians lie. All politicians are the same. So I hated that. And I actually hated the statement he came out. All he needed to say was, look, I'm a dad. I love my son. My son's gotten himself in trouble. He's now trying to get his life together. I don't want him to go to jail. I'm going to use my pardon power. And that's it. I love my son. And I think that would be hard to argue with.
I guess I probably would agree that it would be tough, but it just proves the dual form of justice this country has been living for years. And the powerful get to walk away with the $25 million that Biden's grandchildren have taken, supposedly. They have bank statements.
Jared got billions too. Let's forget. CJ, I mean, Jared got billions from the Saudis too. And Donald Trump's walking away scot-free here, which is really galling to me.
He's got a business. He's got a business. What is the Biden business? What do they sell? What do they sell other than our country? And that's the sad fact, is that they want to look the other way and they're going to get off scot-free, including the big guy. Because we now know that that's true.
Well, he may not get away scot-free unless he pardons himself. And I don't think Joe Biden's going to pardon himself.
Which he will.
I doubt he will.
Which he will.
I'm not for self.
The most corrupt administration ever in our country's history.
Well,
right here.
CJ, we differ on that. And the most dangerous administration in our history is Donald Trump, who will go down in history as a traitor. Historians will be shaking their head as to how this guy got reelected. But CJ, I appreciate the call. Always appreciate the conversation when we're talking issues. Happy to get together with you personally, as we did for lunch in Middleton. Must have been 3 or 4 months ago. Happy to do it again. Taking calls right now from you. If you want to weigh in on this question as to whether Joe Biden should issue mass pardons to officials who may be on Cash Patel's enemies list, which evidently comes to several dozen, 60, I guess, 60 people on Cash Patel's enemies list. I mean, the idea that an incoming FBI nominee would have an enemies list of American citizens that he's already aiming at is disgraceful and disgusting in its own right. The number to call here, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. There's another issue I wanted to raise, and that is this issue of The Washington Post and other members of the mainstream media capitulating ahead of time to Trump. We had Jeff Bezos, who the owner of The Washington Post and Amazon, interviewed in the New York Times on Wednesday. And remember, Jeff Bezos was the guy who pulled the endorsement of Kamala Harris off the pages of The Washington Post after the editorial board wanted to endorse her and changed policy at the last minute not to give Kamala Harris an endorsement. Bezos telling the New York Times, somehow, Donald Trump is calmer than before and has grown in the past 8 years. Really? This is being a sycophant in the worst way and violates the first commandment of On Tyranny, Timothy Snyder's great book, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century, where he says in the very first chapter, the very first page, do not obey in advance. Most of the power of authoritarianism is freely given. Jeff Bezos is freely giving his power over to Trump. In times like these, says Snyder, individuals think ahead about what a more repressive government will want and then offer themselves without being asked. A citizen who adapts in this way is teaching power what it can do. Anticipatory obedience, he concludes, is a political tragedy. And yes, it is. It's a political tragedy when the Washington Post does it and when others do it. And we'll return to this topic right after this quick break to talk about what is going on with the mainstream media and why are they capitulating. You're listening to The Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, pitching in for Dom today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Well, I woke up still not dead again today.
Love that old Willie Nelson. Hey, I'm Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Dom Salvia on the Dom Salvia Show. Dom's away today. He'll be back on Monday just enjoying the three-day weekend, which I don't blame him for at all. I want you, the listener, to give us a holler at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, or send us a text at that number. We're talking about the pardons, the Hunter Biden pardon, but the issue that interests me more than that actually is whether Joe Biden should issue mass pardons. Evidently, his staff is considering mass pardons to those who might be on Cash Patel's hit list or Donald Trump's enemies list, which Kamala Harris warned about that Donald Trump was going to be looking at the first day he got in there while she was going to do a to-do list. It was a good line. Unfortunately, it didn't work. We do have a comment from Tracy on Facebook. There's nothing normal about these times. Better to get ahead of things. We're screwed no matter what. She also said corrupt Trump got away with too much. I can't agree with her more on that. I mean, the fact that Trump has gotten off scot-free here is going to go down in the history books as a real tragedy for our American justice system. And that ruling by the Roberts Court granting immunity, presidential immunity, will go down as one of the worst decisions ever by the U.S. Supreme Court. We have Dan on the line from Green Bay. Happy to talk to Dan. Dan, what's on your mind on this issue?
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, I understand your emotions regarding pardoning your own son, okay? However, you should never, ever put your own emotion above the law in this country, ever.
Well, it's not above the law. I mean, the law in the United States, the pardon power is just enormous. There's no limitation on the pardon power, with the possible exception of a self-pardon, which the courts have not ruled on yet. So it's certainly legal. It's constitutional.
I understand it's legal and it's constitutional, but it also goes against what the laws actually are. So, I mean, pardoning what he did, pardoning his son, is horrible. Okay. The second thing that I would point out is that you're condemning Trump when he hasn't actually been convicted. Okay. Because an actual conviction happens when you're actually sentenced. This will go to appellate, and I can guarantee you Trump will win the appellate court. And I'm not just saying that as someone, you know, yes, I've studied the law a lot, but I mean, I'm also friends with an attorney general and friends with an ex-attorney general in another state. And that whole case in New York is a joke. Okay. I mean, you can even look at.
Well, Dan, he did get convicted by a jury on 34 count felony counts. So
I understand that's why you have an appellate process.
Well, I understand that too, but I also think the Jack Smith investigation was the one that I really wanted to see go to the finish line and have Trump either convicted or found not guilty, because that was, to my mind, the most serious offense, even more serious than taking those national security documents to Mar-a-Lago and leaving them in the toilet for everyone to see on, in boxes there. But the January 6th, Dan, let me just finish my sentence, Dan, and I'll let you talk for a minute.
Yeah, no, please, go ahead.
What Donald Trump did on January 6th was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War, and he needs to be he needed to be held responsible for it. You were in favor of trashing the Capitol and trying to hang the vice president?
But his literally the language he used there would not be insurrection by everybody I know in the legal world. That's ridiculous.
He wasn't charged with insurrection. Jack Smith didn't level the charge of insurrection.
I don't care if he was charged with it. You have to prove it in court, first of all.
Well, Jack Smith was trying to prove it in court, and then the U.S. Supreme Court gave Donald Trump a get out of jail free card. I mean, there's no way to get around that.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
No,
Dan, thanks for the call from Green Bay. I think we're going to end it there. We've got another caller, Angie from Monroe. Angie, what's on your mind?
Yeah. How about if we just, instead of just pardoning everybody, just make sure that they have lawyers from the United States somehow to set them up. That way these people don't have to pay for their own lawyers or something like that. That way they don't get a so-called pardon. And we can prove it in courts. And let's bring everything out. I have no shame in doing that. I mean, pull everything out. Trump stuff and everything. So that's my opinion.
Well, Angie from Monroe, thanks for the call. You know, I agree. Let's get it all out on the table. And yes, the people who Cash Patel and Trump may be going after should, you know, have lawyers who can defend them properly. Everyone deserves proper representation, and I'm sure the powerful people who've served in the Biden administration can find them a decent lawyer. I'm actually more concerned about undocumented folks who are going to be harassed or prosecuted or unlawfully deported by the Trump administration, who can't afford fancy lawyers to help them get out of jail. But yeah, I think one thing that you're getting at, Angie, I've been thinking about too. I mean, if Trump is really going to act in the way that we think he's going to act as a fascist or as an authoritarian, you know, show the world your colors, man. Show everyone in America who you really are. Be that dictator on day one and see, you know, if there are enough democracy-loving people in this country who will rise up against that nonviolently and oppose it. Because we've got to build a mass movement in this country, a mass anti-fascist movement to counter the fascist movement that has brought us Donald Trump. And that means, you know, I'd really encourage everyone who's listening, who agrees with me on this, who's scared about what Donald Trump might do to our democracy, and who understands the risks that fascism actually poses to us, will join an organization that is defending democracy, whether that's, you know, the League of Women Voters or whether that's the ACLU of Wisconsin, or, you know, there are just tons of great organizations, nonprofits right here in Wisconsin that are fighting to defend our democracy. But, you know, otherwise it's too lonely just to do it yourself. You know, you need to do it within an organization, join an organization with a friend who agrees with you, and go together to meetings, or join those meetings on Zoom or however they're gathering, or do it in your church or your synagogue or your mosque in the social justice wing of that religious organization, working with other like-minded people to protect our democracy at this point when Donald Trump is so dead set on trashing it, is, I think, what we all need to do. So I would encourage you, Angie, to do that. Appreciate the call from Monroe and your idea about getting everything out on the table. Trump will show his true colors here, and they may be horrifying enough to convince even a few of the folks who voted for him that this isn't the way our democracy should go. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Dom, who's off today, and I'll be right back. We got Jeff Mandel from Law Forward coming in soon, I hope.
Last night I had a dream that I died twice yesterday. I woke up still not dead again today.
Mm-hmm. You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you on the Dom Salvia Show. Dom's off today, starting the weekend early. Don't blame him a bit. But I'm with you here for the next hour and a half. I hope you'll join the conversation here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The number to call, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And right now in the studio here in Madison, delighted to have with me Jeff Mandel. Jeff is the co-founder, president, and general counsel of the pro-democracy law firm here in Wisconsin called Law Forward. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, congrats on all the great work you've been doing over the last 4 years. Can't believe it's been 4 years, but it's been amazing what you've been able to accomplish so far.
It is, time flies, but we are making real progress, and democracy is on the march in Wisconsin.
And why do you say that?
Well, there's a lot going on, and within the last 12 months alone, we have ended the gerrymander. And now we have a Dane County judge who has struck down Act 10. Those are the two cornerstones of the right-wing takeover of Wisconsin in the last 15 years. And within 1 year, they've both been uprooted.
And what a huge relief that's been. And Law Forward wasn't an outsider or just an observer on either of those two issues.
No, those are both cases that we brought and we represent the plaintiffs in and are really proud of helping move Wisconsin forward by winning these cases.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Act 10 case because that's the one that was most recently in the news. You were representing some unions, correct, who brought the issue?
We represent a variety of local unions here in Wisconsin and union members.
Okay. And why did the judge decide, on what grounds did the judge decide to toss out Act 10?
Well, the judge noted that Act 10 violates the Wisconsin state constitution, which has its own equal protection guarantee, separate and apart from the federal equal protection clause. There had been litigation last decade about the federal constitutional piece, but no court had ever really looked at the state constitutional claim. And when the court did hear, it said this is clearly a violation.
And it was a violation because some law enforcement were exempted from Act 10 and some were not, correct?
Correct. The theory of Act 10 is that it breaks public sector unions into two categories, general employee unions and public safety employee unions. And there might be a sense in which you can understand that public safety workers are different from other kinds of public sector workers. The problem, though, is that the law didn't use a straight, clear line to divide public safety workers from general workers. Instead, it used a twisty, winding line. And the reason it did that was it wasn't really about the difference between public safety workers and general workers. It was about who Scott Walker's political supporters were and we're not. So you've got a law that says the state police are public safety workers, but the UW police and the Capitol police aren't. And that says that conservation wardens who carry guns and have arrest authority in our state parks are not public safety workers, but vehicle inspectors who don't carry guns and don't have arrest authority, well, they are public safety workers.
Well, that is certainly a hard thing to square. I mean, you mentioned conservation wardens. I have to laugh because I was arrested by a conservation warden in the Capitol when I was doing some civil disobedience during Act 10. I actually was arrested twice there. The time the warden arrested me, I had taped onto my shirt part of the Wisconsin state constitution about freedom of assembly. And they were arresting people who were holding signs or taking pictures up in the assembly gallery. And I was taking pictures of someone who was holding a sign and was arrested for taking a picture. So anyway, the warden was nice, though. I got nothing against the warden, but it was a surreal experience. But you know, some of the wardens and some of the Capitol Police weren't happy to be, you know, aced out of Act 10.
Well, certainly not, because anyone who was considered a general employee union suddenly had a real constraint on their rights as a worker. Public safety unions weren't given any special rights. They just continued to have the traditional rights that union workers had in Wisconsin. But if you were not a public safety worker, if you were in a general employee union, suddenly your union rights were way, way, way packed down and barely existed. That's a real problem. And especially when the rationale for deciding who gets to keep their rights and who doesn't is arbitrary and is not in any way logical. And that's why the court struck down this distinction.
I'm speaking with Jeff Mandel, who's the co-founder, president, and general counsel of the progressive law firm Law Forward, who brought this case for his clients, successfully brought this case against Act 10. Now, what is the consequence of Act 10 being thrown out?
Well, Act 10 as a whole has not thrown out. I want to be a little bit more granular than that. Act 10, as you remember, was a big budget repair bill, and it had quite a few things in it. What has been thrown out is this fake distinction between general employee unions and public safety employee unions. As soon as that judgment takes effect, which has not fully happened yet, we don't have a final order yet, but as soon as that happens, then the distinction can no longer be enforced, and that means that all public sector unions will be restored to having the rights that they had before Act 10. Collective bargaining in full, freedom from these just harassing an anti-democratic requirements to recertify the union constantly and do so in ways that are really, really hard to meet.
By getting half of all members, not half of all voting members, but half of all members. I mean, no president of the United States would ever be elected that way.
As you say, we are used in America to a democracy where you win by getting a majority of the votes that are cast. And sometimes not even that. But the basic idea is the person who gets the most votes wins. Unions have certification elections, and the idea is the union is certified if more votes are for the union than against the union. Act 10, as you say, changed the rules, and it said you have to get 51%, not a majority, but all the way to 51%, and not 51% of the people who vote and participate, but 51% of everyone who's eligible. So anyone who's sick or couldn't make it to work that day or chose not to vote, they count as if they're voting against the union. And one of our plaintiffs is a union that was decertified after getting 50.7% of the vote. Oof. It's simply contrary to everything we understand about American democracy.
So, Jeff Mandel, let me be clear here and make sure our listeners know. So the decision allows teachers, for instance, who weren't plaintiffs, or maybe they were.
We have teachers unions, yes.
But they weren't safety workers, though. So, I mean, the distinction you were drawing was, well, the Capitol Police and the wardens weren't included with the state police and the cops, the other cops, so that was unfair. So how come teachers now get the right if the whole act hasn't been tossed out?
Well, it's not that the whole act. It is that every part of the act that is based on this false distinction between general employee unions and public safety unions gets thrown out. So teachers who had been general employee unions that distinction goes away, and so now they get restored to the rights that they had before Act 10.
I got it. I'm a little slow, but I got it now. And that's great. I mean, this was Scott Walker dividing and conquering, dividing public safety workers from public safety workers, public sector workers from public sector workers. And then, of course, he divided public sector workers from private sector workers. Finally, we're getting some justice here, which is just a huge relief. And I can only imagine the exaltation from anyone who was in a union and was adversely affected by Act 10, which is all union members. I mean, I was there with 110,000 other people there when Walker brought down Act 10 and dropped the bomb on the people of Wisconsin, to use his expression. And it's nice to see the Scott Walker, Robin Voss assault on our democracy crumbling now. You mentioned gerrymandering. Talk a little bit about how important that victory has been.
Well, the victory over the gerrymander is just huge, because remember that the first thing that they did after they started to divide and conquer was then guarantee that they would stay in power by enacting the nation's most extreme and durable gerrymander. There was a national effort to gerrymander state legislatures in 2011 in favor of the Republican Party. It's called the Red Map Program. But Wisconsin was the most successful. It was the most precise, the most extreme, and the most durable. Remember that in 2018, Democratic candidates for the Wisconsin legislature got 54% of the votes cast, and that translated into 36% of the seats. So by getting rid of the gerrymander, by having fairer maps so that people can choose their representatives instead of the representatives choosing their voters, we move in the right direction, and we're already seeing democracy flourishing. 10 years ago, after the gerrymander went into effect, only 50% of all the legislative races on the ballot were even contested. This year, that number was 81%. So we're seeing things go well. And even with voter participation across the country in 2024 falling off, in Wisconsin, we had record participation. And I think that a lot of that is because people were enthusiastic to vote for the first time in more than a decade in state legislative races that mattered.
Yeah, because upwards of 70% of Wisconsinites were against gerrymandering. And so that means not just Democrats and progressives were against it, but the vast majority just don't want the system rigged. We have a texter who wants to go back to this question of this lawsuit on Act 10. Will the lawsuit, or I'm going to edit that, will the judge's decision also cover the nursing staff over at UW Health, you know?
Well, it's a little bit complicated. There's a separate lawsuit brought by lawyers at Pines Bach and on behalf of the SEIU to clarify that situation and represent the nurses and other staff, professional staff at UW Health. There are ways in which that I believe this does automatically, you know, cover those folks. One thing that the judge's order will bring back into play is before Act 10, it was that people in general, all public sector workers had the option of asking their employer to automatically deduct their union dues from their paycheck and direct them straight to the union. That, for example, and you didn't even have to be a member of a union. There were rights to deduct certain things from your paycheck. That will apply to the UW nurses. Exactly whether UW Health is required to or allowed to recognize the nurses and others for collective bargaining, there is a separate lawsuit going on about that. It's also in front, I believe, in front of Judge Frost.
And Judge Frost's ruling on the case that you brought, is that going to be under appeal? Has Voss said he's going to appeal it already?
They've said they're going to appeal it already, and in fact, they've already filed an appeal because they're so desperate to pick their appellate judges. There's, as part of the, during the gerrymandered legislature, they passed this law that changes the basic standards of American jurisprudence and allows them basically to gerrymander the Court of Appeals. They're so desperate to get in front of their chosen judges in Waukesha County that they've appealed prematurely. But yes, the case is going to go up on appeal.
So they can go judge shopping. That's what that law says they can do.
That's what that law basically allows, is that any case in which the defendants or the government they claim the right to choose their own appellate judges.
Oh, that's nice work if you can get it. I'm speaking with Jeff Mandel, who's general counsel and president of the law firm Law Forward, which has done so much good here in Wisconsin in its first 4 years of existence. One of the things you did that caught my attention early on was flash a light on the false electors here in Wisconsin. You guys were way ahead of that game.
We were really the first ones in the entire country to be talking about this. We filed our first complaints about the fraudulent electors from the 2020 election on President's Day of 2021. So we're closing in on 4 years ago now. We had the only civil case in the entire country about this. We did bring tremendous information to light, including information that the January 6th committee had not found. And we were able to show that this all started in Wisconsin. And if it hadn't started here, it wouldn't have happened anywhere. It metastasized to other states. And we're really proud of that work. And that work is, in some ways, the accountability piece of that is still ongoing.
Well, you got some civil accountability from the false electors. Do you want to talk about that briefly? And We'll come back to it soon.
Yeah, we settled our case. We sued the 10 fraudulent electors, and we sued two lawyers who helped them. And we wound up settling so that we could make what we had learned public, because during the litigation, it was all under a protective order. And we did get all of them to agree that they wouldn't do this again. None of those false electors has been able to be an elector here in 2024. And they've all promised not to do this again.
And you got them to admit that Joe Biden actually won in Wisconsin, which was a nice concession to drag out of them. We'll be right back with Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, thanks for listening. Matt Rothschild here on the Dom Salvia Show. You can give us a call at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. And I'm speaking with Jeff Mandel, who's the co-founder, president, and general counsel of the pro-democracy law firm here in Wisconsin called Law Forward. In their 4 years, they've done just an amazing amount of good here. And we were talking about the civil litigation you brought against the 10 false electors. And congratulations on extracting that settlement from them. But there's been no criminal prosecution that I know of. I mean, Josh Call has, I guess he's filed a complaint against a couple of the lawyers who were working with them. But I've been urging him. I remember going to a protest outside his office and demanding that he prosecute or at least investigate the 10 false electors. Why has there not been more out of the Department of Justice here in Wisconsin on this?
I wish I knew. I mean, we've also urged him and provided information. When I said before the break that going all the way back to President's Day of 2021, we were pushing on this. When we did that, we filed a complaint with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We also filed, we sent a detailed letter to then Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm and copied the Wisconsin Department of Justice with all the details that we knew at the time and a whole series of laws that we thought had potentially been broken. We've been pushing for criminal prosecution.
But I read those letters. I mean, some of the alleged violations were fraud, committing fraud.
Absolutely. And the good news is that we are making progress. So in June of this year, Attorney General Call did finally, as you say, bring charges against three lawyers, one here in Wisconsin and two elsewhere, who were instrumental in this. And those cases have those defendants need to show up in court for the first time here in Wisconsin next week.
And I just read today or yesterday that Jim Troupas, one of those three, has filed a request for dismissal of the case. I don't know if that's I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know if that's just a standard thing or he's doing it because of the immunity decision or he's doing it because Trump won. I didn't read the filing, but I wondered if you had any insight there.
I read the filing, and I should be clear, I'm not a criminal lawyer, and I don't do criminal work on either side, prosecution or defense. But the filing, in my view, is not particularly serious. What it says is that the Elections Commission is the only state agency that has the authority to initiate a criminal investigation or prosecution related to elections things, and therefore the Attorney General lacks the power to do what he's doing. As I said, I'm not a criminal lawyer, but this does not strike me as a particularly serious argument or one that's likely to prevail.
Sounds like a technicality to me, but lawyers make money on technicalities.
There are good ones and bad ones. Good technicalities and bad technicalities, and I don't think this is a good one.
And good lawyers and bad lawyers. I'm speaking with a good lawyer, Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. Part of the work that you've done that has been successful, especially on the gerrymandering issue, depended in some not small degree on there being a change at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We now have a liberal majority at the court. There is a vacancy coming up, so it's going to be a decisive campaign in April for who is going to take that seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Can you, without giving an endorsement one way or another, tell us why you think that election's important?
Well, I think that election's important because, as you say, the court is really crucial. The courts are a fundamental part of our separation of powers and making sure that we hold the other branches of government to account. What we've seen here over the last 15 years is a legislature run amok that has just taken more and more power to itself, and the courts are an essential bulwark to stand up for democracy. There has been some reporting that what we have is a progressive majority on the court for the first time in 15 years, and that simply isn't true. What we have is the end of a reflexively right-wing partisan majority that we had for 15 years. I don't think we've ever really had a progressive majority on the court in the past. Exactly how progressive the current majority is on the court is a little bit difficult to assess at this point. We haven't seen enough. But what's important is having a court where most of the justices are open-minded and thoughtful and not just doing the bidding of the legislative majority. And that, whether we perpetuate that or not, is what's at stake in this election.
And one of the most open-minded and thoughtful justices is the justice who is retiring, Ann Walsh Bradley. We only have about a minute and a half left, 2 minutes left. I wanted you to reflect on Ann Walsh Bradley, her service on the court, and what kind of justice she's been.
I think Justice Bradley is a real Wisconsin treasure, and she will be missed. In many ways, she is overshadowed by the great Shirley Abrahamson, who, you know, with whom she served for many years. But Justice Bradley herself has been a tremendous jurist. And I don't think that anyone who sits in that courtroom, much less argues in that courtroom, doesn't appreciate the light touch, the wit, the genuine curiosity that she brings. If those who might be critical, those who might be inclined to see the court purely in partisan terms, should really go and watch an argument or two. Because to watch Justice Bradley participate in argument is really to belie any claims of partisanship. She does not lecture. She does not ask ideological questions. She is trying to get to the truth. She is doing what good jurists do. She's asking hard questions of all sides and trying to get the law right.
And had such a judicious and gracious manner about it, both in oral argument. I only saw her once or twice. I'm sure you saw her more. And in her writing. And she will be sorely missed, Ann Walsh Bradley, from our Wisconsin Supreme Court. Jeff Mandel, thanks for being my guest today on the Dom Salvia Show. Jeff's at Law Forward here in Madison, and I'll be right back for another hour of the Dom Salvia Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.